Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Today, 6th of April, is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and obviously the Sunday after that is Easter Sunday. Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. And you'll be able to find details of our coming Holy Week and Easter services on our Facebook page. And you can also follow there and on our YouTube channel the live stream of our services, which we hold in person at 10:30 on Sunday mornings at our premises at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, Sherbrooke. In our reflection today, we look at Luke 12, in which Jesus is anointed by Mary in Bethany prior to his going to Jerusalem. But first, words from Isaiah chapter 43. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. The rains new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Sunlight. mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
Let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of all life, we come with grateful hearts. We praise you for your creation and its reliable rhythms. Summer and winter, seed time and harvest, great is your faithfulness. We praise you for Christ and his ministry that we seek to continue in the life of the church. We bless you for his redeeming love shown upon the cross, his conquest of death in the empty tomb, and the hope that we have that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you can illumine our hearts and our minds, drawing us into the family of your love and the covenant of new relationships with you. And so we praise you, our God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of all life, and offer you all glory and honour this day and every day. We gather in your name today, aware that we are moving in the Jesus story closer and closer to the cross. We confess it is not easy to follow your story. We confess we often struggle to decide what to give and whom to help. We can be critical of those in need and those who help them. Forgive us when we look for reasons not to share and excuse ourselves from acting generously as you did. Lead us to learn from and follow the pattern of Jesus Christ the Lord. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Let us believe the good news of the gospel that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven and set free by God's extravagant, generous grace. Speak again with the power of the Holy Spirit through the scriptures, read and interpreted, and transform our understanding. For we pray it in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. From John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, we read an account about how Jesus was anointed by Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, in Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at table with him. And then Mary took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Amen. How much does love cost? How much does love cost? A jewellery store in the UK, H. Samuel, used to advertise its sale of engagement rings by suggesting that you should buy your fiancé a ring to the value of a month's salary. A month's salary was the going rate for an engagement ring. In the story today, we're looking at an illustration of the cost of love. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were perhaps Jesus' closest friends outside of his travelling group of disciples. Their home seems to have been somewhere he often liked to go when he needed some time out to put his feet up and relax with good friends. Lazarus, of course, featured prominently in the previous chapter of John's Gospel when he died and was buried, but he's feeling a lot better now, thanks very much, because Jesus called him out of the grave and brought him back to life. And Mary and Martha both featured in that story too, including a reference to Mary falling down at Jesus' feet, an action that becomes rather more central in today's story. But of course, we've met Mary and Martha in another gospel story. They are perhaps most famous for an occurrence that happened at a dinner party they hosted for Jesus, when Martha spat the dummy over the way that her sister just sat at Jesus' feet, hanging on his every word, and left Martha with all the work of preparing and serving the meal. As one commentator said, Mary seems to have had quite a thing about Jesus' feet. Now, although that story is not found in this same gospel, there are hints of it here that add a bit more of a sense of tension to the scene. Because once again, we have it spelled out that Martha is doing all the work of serving dinner, while Mary is monopolizing Jesus' attention instead of helping with the meal. And so we have a dinner party with Jesus as a guest, an unspecified number of disciples present, Lazarus seated at the table and feeling much better all the time. Martha doing what Martha always does, running around serving everything and everyone, and in comes Mary and makes quite a scene. She takes a large quantity of very expensive creamed perfume and pours it over Jesus' feet and wipes them with her hair. And according to Judas' estimation, and it's not disputed, this perfume was worth not a month's salary, but a year's salary. The reckless expense is a scandal that is named, and Judas demands to know why it's being wasted like this when it could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And although the gospel writer alleges that Judas didn't really care about the poor, but liked to steal from the group's common purse, that's a later observation and nobody thought of that at the time. Mary's expression of her love and affection for Jesus is reckless and extravagant and almost wasteful and inevitably scandalous. And yet Jesus accepts it warmly and graciously with evident pleasure, and he has no hesitation in defending her against those who are shocked and scandalized and critical of what she has done. John's Gospel is often called the Book of Signs because it is so deliberate in bringing out the symbolic dimensions and meanings of everything. So what this story and Jesus' attitudes and behaviour within it are pointing to is that extravagant expressions of love and generosity are a sign of the kingdom of God, the new incoming rule and reign and culture of God. Mary's gesture seems reckless, extravagant, over the top, but it is a sign of the reckless, extravagant, over the top gesture of Jesus dying on the cross. God has created us out of love, freely, generously, graciously, simply because he wanted to share his life with us. God is love and life. There's no life and love apart from him. His desire is for us. He yearns for us, and he wants our love in return. We were created in love, out of God's love, and we've been created for love, created to love God in return. We are in a divine love story with God. And the one who began this love story is God himself, as the first letter of John tells us. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. We love because he first loved us. That's the great reality and truth of the universe, and it's the foundation of our lives and our relationship with God. John also went on to say, we know and believe the love God has for us. God has loved us, laid claim to us, and wants us to captivate us with his goodness, his mercy, and his generosity in sending his Son to us. He's captured each of us for himself and won us by his love, dying on the cross for us. As the hymn says, my song is love unknown, my Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? It's in response to God's overwhelming love for us and the revelation of himself to us that we then love him. God is constantly wooing and pursuing us and invites us to respond to his overtures by loving him in return. God has loved us with a love beyond measure. And it only makes sense that we love him in return. As Bernard of Clairvaux once noted, you wish me to tell you why and how God should be loved? My answer is that God himself is the reason why he should be loved. As for how he is to be loved, there is to be no limit to that love. And that's how Mary of Bethany loved Jesus, pouring out the nard, pouring out herself without measure. And that's how we too are to love Jesus. And when we do that, we're doing just what we've been made for. As Amy Carmichael, a Protestant missionary to India, once wrote, ours should be the love that asks not how little, but how much. The love that pours its all and revels in the joy of having something to pour out on the feet of its beloved. Love that laughs at limits, rather does not see them, would not heed them if they did. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us again turn to God in prayer. Once more, Lord, we give you thanks and praise, for there is nothing else in life that can compare with the surpassing worth and value of knowing you. The newborn earth sprang forth at your touch, and life burst free as you lavished your love upon it. And in ancient times you formed a people to declare your glory, and you led them to freedom on a road through the sea. Your Son, Jesus Christ, was honoured by outpoured devotion, but was betrayed and killed by those who profit from corruption. You raised him to life and called us to leave the past and look to the new wonders you are doing, opening pathways through inhospitable places and pouring forth springs where all was dry and lifeless, so that we and all who have laboured in sorrow might joyously bring forth a harvest of righteousness and join Christ in the glory of his resurrection life. O God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we come to you in prayer, trusting that you are with us in the ups and downs, the joys and sorrows of these challenging days. We give you thanks for every sign of your presence with us, for every unexpected kindness, every word of comfort or encouragement, every sign of courage in the face of injustice, every hopeful step towards reconciliation amid conflict and healing in the face of disease or danger. Thank you for your presence with us in all things. In this unpredictable world, we pray for those whose lives are caught up in reckless terror or planned oppression, and for those who are living in places where they are afraid to walk freely. And we remember all who find the uncertainty of our times overwhelming and discouraging. We remember the people of Myanmar and Thailand in the wake of the earthquake. May all these know of your comfort and compassion. As the stories of Jesus turn us towards the cross, O God, we pray for those who also walk the road of suffering. And we remember before you those whose lives have been plunged into sorrow or despair through tragic death, through critical illness or chronic pain, and through complicated problems that seem to have no end. May all these know your comfort and compassion. O God, the stories of Jesus show us that he faced the clamour of many demands and the pressure of many critics. We pray for all those who are exhausted in these days, juggling more demands and fewer resources in their work or at home, for those who cannot seem to get it right, whatever they do, and for all those facing unfair criticism and expectations in the responsibilities they bear on behalf of others. At this season of a federal election in Canada, we pray your wisdom upon those who offer themselves for public service, and we pray for safety and for sensible discussion in public discourse, and pray for wisdom upon all who have responsibilities in electing and voting and choosing. May we all be strengthened by your spirit of justice and mercy. Lord, we need the embrace of your presence, each in our own way. Anoint us with your spirit of healing and hope, and bring peace to our lives and this world that you love, for the sake of Christ Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Lord, my,
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.